Good morning. Today is Thursday, July the 28th. Joining us this morning from the California Highway Patrol, the boss is in the... That almost sounds like a wrestling reference, doesn't it?
It does. It
Maybe
like,
not. Okay.
Well, it sounds like the 80s WWF or WWE
or WCW.
WCW.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
But I don't think that there's any Vince McMahon in the building.
No.
Or any remnants thereof.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. What is he? He's paid out $13 million now in hush money?
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Just, good old Vince was doing more than just a squared circle.
Oh, I think I did hear about that.
Yeah. Sean Morris.
Corruption and wrestling.
Paul Kraft. Yeah, I know. Shock and awe. Oh, boy. Are you guys ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Yes.
Yes, I got this one.
Uh-oh.
Stand back.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Paul.
Out on a limb.
Man. Obviously.
Not like, you know, like not like what you're doing right now, being out on a limb. But
get too far out and that branch is not strong enough to support you, it's going to snap and you're taking a chance going out on a limb.
But
right.
Seems pretty straightforward, but I'm guessing it's like some Greek mythological thing.
A person who finds himself or herself out on a limb is in a precarious position with no sure or easy way to get out of the predicament. That is precisely the situation of a possum or a raccoon. That was the... Yeah, you blew that one. You've been out on the coast too long. A possum or a raccoon who takes to a tree and misjudges the distance to another. Having moved out far onto a limb in order to jump to safety, such an animal suddenly realizes that there is no escape from its pursuer. It's too far to jump, and the dogs are already under the tree, barking to bring hunters in for the kill. Though barely a century old in literary use, the hunting term born on the American frontier may have been used orally as early as colonial times. So just remember that when you answer some of these questions, buddy.
I just simplified it immensely what I did.
Yeah, you rounded it off to the point as a dot.
I think that's what Paul was trying to say.
Oh. You cut me off, Brian. You didn't let me finish.
Yeah. This is the brotherhood, right? Circle the wagons, the whole nine yards. Well, glad to see you're working these days.
I'm here. Just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, I did get a few weeks off and spent half of it, maybe a little bit more with COVID. So it was
grand,
great vacation.
Grand timing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm presuming you're
over it,
right?
My vacation.
Yeah.
You hear that, Captain?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
What?
Free and clear right now. So
we're all right. Yeah.
Got to have that experience.
You know, it's a resume builder.
Yeah. I'll never go back out on that limb. So.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
Is he's this thing try, on?
Yeah.
I'm here all minute. My folks. Arm's tired.
Remember when you were concerned about showing up to this thing?
I know, right?
Yeah.
He sat in the corner just like nodding his head.
Yeah. Now I'm telling jokes.
Full-fledged participant. Yeah. We've got this Freedom Ride coming up this weekend. Fortuna to McKinleyville, Saturday midday. What are some of the things that you guys are concerned about or you would suggest to folks if they're going to be participating in this or any other similar type event? Yeah, it's on the highway. You guys are part of the game, whether you want to be or not. What are your concerns?
Traffic safety. I know people want to exercise their First Amendment rights, which we fully support. The only thing that we ask is for, you know, usage on the freeway, that just people be safe, get to their destinations in a safe manner. So obeying all of the traffic laws, not clogging the freeway system or anything like that. But and that's pretty much it. Just obey the traffic laws. Be safe in your driving. No distracted driving. Don't use your cell phones, especially for a driver behind a vehicle or anything. Just be cognizant of what you're doing. There's other people out there that are using the freeway systems as well. So
there's a temptation, I would think, for folks to go a little bit slower than normal. Yeah, and I think we're all aware of speeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something you kind of look out for.
That's a great point that you bring up. So speeding, obviously, you know, is the most prevalent. We see that all the time. However, impeding traffic is also a violation of the law as well. So
does that mean going slow?
Going slow.
Oh, thank you. Realize who you're talking to here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So impeding traffic, going too slow, you know, significantly slower than the speed limit, is also a violation of the law. And so, you know, obviously, if there are mechanical issues with your vehicle, that's one thing. But if they're doing it on purpose, then that will cause a response from the Highway Patrol, and you could be issued a citation. So,
so we kind of have the plus five as a concept of speeding.
Here we go. I love this.
Is there a minus five or minus ten? At what point does impeding start to become an issue?
It's about safety of conditions. You know, so speeding, obviously. So anything 1 mile per hour over the speed limit technically is speeding, and you could, not saying that an officer would, but you could be issued a citation for speeding. Significantly slower than what calls for the conditions of the roadway can cause you to, you know, you could be issued a citation for impeding. Obviously, if there's some impediment in the roadway or something where a driver would say, I cannot, you know, I need to go this speed in order to be safe, then that is what you're supposed to do. But just to, like, if the speed limit is 65 miles per hour and someone is going 30 miles per hour just on purpose, then that's
that kind of
definitely
that one makes sense. But, you know, you get like some of the commercial drivers, you know, the truck drivers, you know, it's 55.
Right.
Speed limit 65. They're going 55. Obviously, that's not impeding because they're doing what
they're required to do that speed limit, and they're designated to be in specific lanes. So on a three lanes of traffic on the freeway, they're required to be in the right hand lanes, and they're in, you know, for multiple axles of a vehicle, then they're required to go 55 miles per hour. So
yeah, it's like he knows the California vehicle code.
I think
at least he fakes it well.
I think it pretty well. Pretty good guess.
So for something like this, 50 would probably be the low end, a little bit lower than the 55.
Well, again, it's about conditions. So you know, obviously, you know, if it's significantly impeding the flow of traffic, then yes.
Paragraph 14, page 3. And if somebody wants to use the exit, if they're going past to cut in, I would think that they have to make allowances for somebody to take the exit.
And if someone is using their turn signal to make it, yes, safely.
See, I read too. KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft and Sean Morris from the CHP.
And baseball aficionado.
All kinds of fun are happening here. Paul, you were going to try to do a little clarification here just because you're kind of a nuts and bolts kind of guy?
I was still digging through the internet, but just verifying. We were talking about the impeding traffic and the vehicle code that applies to that, and you know, what is defined in that as far as what is impeding considered. But, you know, the only reasons to drive slower than the speed limit, which could ultimately cause impeding of traffic, would be because of a safety hazard or condition
or
of a vehicle
issue, right,
that requires you to go that slow. But in those events, if it begins to impede the traffic at too much, then we have to look at other things. Is a vehicle unsafe to be on the road? Do we need to get that car off the roadway? Also, we need to remove a hazard, or what can we do to remove that hazard that's causing those impeding traffic. So,
just before the break, we said, you know, if somebody wants to use an exit, okay. But over years, decades, however long we've had the CHP with us, merging is one of those big question marks that, you know, you get the entitled, I'm coming, you have to get out of my way. You've got the other folks that will stop to allow somebody to come in.
Yeah.
You know, for me, if it's a cement truck or a logging truck, I'm getting out of the way. It doesn't matter who's around, what's going on. I'm out of the way because I know those guys can't stop, and they're gonna make their way into the lane.
And right? and I will say that there's reduced visibility. So that's a great point that you bring up. And I know for drivers, for both types of vehicles or different types of vehicles, it can be incredibly frustrating when you're merging onto the freeway. So what I would say is, you have to merge in with the flow of traffic and obeying obviously the speed limit, but technically merging onto that access ramp that goes onto the freeway, you're now considered part of the freeway, and that is subject to the speed limit of that freeway. An illustrative point is merging on, and you have, let's say you have that truck that you're talking about, and then that passenger vehicle that's merging on, and then all of a sudden they start to slow down because, you know, they're and then you have, you know, cars behind you. So I can understand how incredibly frustrating that is. However, keep in mind that large truck has reduced visibility on the right front of that vehicle. So if you're merging on and you think that truck can see you.
And you're driving one of those small little bug cars.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so that happens quite frequently. There are traffic accidents,
just getting squished.
Getting pushed off the moved off. So, but as a passenger vehicle merging on with the rest of the traffic, you should be ramping up to the freeway speed so that you could safely merge and integrate your vehicle into
if
there's space. And if there isn't, then obviously there is some impediment in front of you, then you should slow. You should drive for the conditions. Exactly.
Yeah. No, what I was thinking was the other way around.
Oh,
logging truck or cement truck wants to merge. Here he comes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Change lanes. Get out, yeah.
He can't really slow down too much when he's pulling the amount of weight that they're pulling.
Right.
But I've seen people cause logging trucks and chip trucks to start to do the wiggle because they just don't get out of the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a clear-cut answer at that moment in time when that merge situation is happening. And other times it is incumbent upon both of those drivers to see each other to make a conscious decision about the type of vehicle they're driving and the other vehicle, and for each of those drivers to make the right or to make good decisions as far as their position in a lane, changing lanes, should I slow down, speed up? These are constantly changing.
I was just about to say, and be nice.
It's not a hard and fast. There's not a black and white. Everything we do on the road requires us to constantly see what's going on around us, evaluate, and make adjustments to what we're doing that are within the laws that are given to us.
I often wonder that, and it tends to be the small little foreign-made cars with wings on them, right, on the back. In and out, back and forth, going gazillion. Now, we did have one. It was a minivan driving up Harris. I don't know what it was. You know, it could have been like half an hour late. I don't know, but this gal was really pushing. You know, it's like, come on, it's a minivan. Knock it off. In, out, push right, bumper riding from like Pearson's Mall all the way up to where Harris becomes Tulane, you know, at the old hospital. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then she shot out on Harris after cutting somebody off down headed towards Redwood Acres. Now, what could be? You got a foot and a half out of the whole deal.
Yep.
So when you guys talk to these folks, is there a reason or something like that about to happen that is defensible?
People always have some really interesting reasons for why they're driving the way they're driving. You know, obviously some are very legitimate, you know, and then again, that's the discretion of the officer.
No brakes? I get that one.
Well, you shouldn't be out driving if your car has no brakes. That reminds me of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
Is your speedometer working? Nope, not at all. Do you know how fast you're going? Nope, not a clue.
Oh, when you have a hairdo like the three of us and you say, I don't know, but my hair was blown back. There are issues. Yeah, it's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Morris and Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. No titles in this studio, guys.
No titles. No titles.
Other than good looking.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah. Now we just have to find
and,
out.
And modest. And modest.
Yes, yes. Humble is
humble.
A big deal, too.
Humble yeah. And modest Paul Kraft.
Yeah, I'm Louisiana beautiful.
Yeah, Louisiana beautiful. That sounds like a bumper sticker, doesn't it?
Patent pending. That's mine. Yeah, I own it.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking of some of the, you know, the stereotypes of the swamp people and some of the... Yeah,
stereotypes.
Louisiana beautiful. This could be a T-shirt. This could be a Christmas party thing, Sean.
Yeah, well.
We can build this thing up into something. Yeah.
So
now the lights are going off.
To match your ugly sweater shirt, your ugly sweater contest, right?
Is that Louisiana beautiful.
Louisiana beautiful.
Many of my family or friends hear this. It'll never happen.
Oh, if. Oh, now the gauntlet is really thrown.
I know that's not an issue.
Yeah, you are so dead meat.
Well, they haven't got electricity yet, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of power.
How do they hear the radio?
Oh, jeez. That one threw me off.
Sorry.
You guys seeing any trends this year with the travelers? I mean, it doesn't you talk to the hotel guys, they're here, but you just don't seem to see as many Winnebagos and trailers this year as we have in the last little bit. So I don't
I've been reviewing some of our crash reports, and I'm not seeing, you know, in years past, we'll have a fair amount of traveling vehicles traveling through the area that are involved in some type of a crash
or going the wrong way, or, you know, that kind of thing that just, you know, they don't know really where they are, and they don't recognize things.
Those stories would have to trickle up from the officers that are contacting them, and I haven't heard those. I had my share when I was working the road here when I first got here, but
when they come off shift, they don't come in and say, "Oh boy," and share.
No. They're like, "Hey, are you looking for a good story for the radio?" And I'm like,
No.
Just in general, right?
You wouldn't believe this one.
They do still have those stories, but no, I haven't really heard anything. About that. So.
Are you seeing a decline in the amount of drug interdiction? Mm-hmm. You know, you stop somebody and there's stuff there. Is it more? I mean, you know, with legalization, nobody really knew what to anticipate.
I think we're seeing it pretty straightforward in the media here with the drug arrests. And,
yes. and I just want to say that, you know, our drug task force is doing a tremendous job keeping the community safe, keeping those, you know, dangerous, you know, drugs off the streets, and they're making arrests and things. So no, I think it's the other way around. So
is it more prevalent, or is 101 being used as a thoroughfare rather than I-5?
Well, I think any major corridor, you know, is an attraction for, you know, for that type of criminal activity, and so it's incumbent upon.
Yeah, but switchbacks don't tend to be a desirable thing for people trying to go from point A to point B.
Well, but I mean, if you're, you know, you're
bringing, versus I-5, you know, but straight shot.
But if you're bringing drugs from the Bay Area up here, so you got to get up here somehow. So it's either the 5 corridor or the 101. So
well, that's true. If we're the destination instead of the pass through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's two mindsets to it. You'll have a group that sees the free flowing freeway traffic and blending in with all the other cars on that road, and then you also have the idea mindset of, hey, I'm gonna take the back road and get home safe. Type of, you know, like you would see with drunk drivers sometimes, we'll be like, oh, I'm going to take the back road, stay off the main road. They won't see me, and I make it home. I think we see some of that with using 101 for transportation. It's more rural, less law enforcement possibly, as opposed to I-5 being flooded with all the offices that are more highly compacted throughout the I-5 corridor than it is on 101. So that's why we find it important we have grant money that gets put towards adding those patrols and enforcement operations on 101, because it's happening. It comes up the coast.
Yeah.
And like the captain said, our drug task force, it's not a eight-hour-a-day job where they're out trying to find dope between 9 to 5 on Monday. Yeah. That's a 24-hour gig for them 7 days a week. Yeah, for sure. And it's paying off. You know?
So these folks that drive, I think I've asked this repeatedly, do they drive differently? Or are there studies that show you guys catch 5% or 8% of the cars that are transporting? Because I would think, you know, if I was inclined, not that I am, but if I was inclined, I'd have a, you know, probably a 4 or 5 year old vehicle. It would be not super clean, but pretty clean. All the lights would work. I'd be paying attention to the gas. You know, I'm not going to have mechanicals out in the middle of the road and try to flag one of you guys down.
You're saying all the things that we sit at the office afterwards.
You scratch your head also.
And yet the vehicles will go down the road with a tail light out. Or
barreling down the highway at 150 miles an hour.
Yes. It's always poor decision making.
Yeah.
The person driving that car is the same person that drives the car without the dope in it that has a violation on the vehicle that they don't take care of or aren't paying attention to their speeds or driving behaviors when they're driving. Those, they're human beings also that make mistakes. Unfortunately for us, when someone is not driving safe or in a legal manner or a legal setup car, that is what gives us the opportunity to make contact with them, have a conversation. Sometimes those conversations lead to us locating somebody transporting drugs. Finding a drunk driver.
I also believe, you know, just I guess in a more, I don't know. I just think if you're doing wrong, at some point you're going to get caught, you know.
So there's the whole karma thing.
Yeah,
God will get you.
Yeah, you know, I believe in that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's always intriguing. We've heard the last couple of weeks some of these driving strange. Outstanding felony warrants. Is that common? That you pull somebody over and, you know, they're wanted for this, they're wanted for that, or they skipped on that, or did they, you know, and you find all this stuff out instead of...
That's a good question. And to put it in perspective, like for the Highway Patrol, I mean, we on an annual basis, I think last year we made 2.5 million contacts with the public, and that's all across California, maybe more.
Yeah, I didn't think that was this office.
Yeah, well, not this office, but
there's a lot of stuff going on between Eureka and Arcata. Yeah,
that'd be a lot of work. That'd be a lot of work. So it's not uncommon for us to come in contact with people that have, you know, felony warrants or anything like that. And again, you know, over 100,000 miles of roadway, you know, folks that do dirt, do bad, and they want to get away, they're going to use the freeway system, and we're going to kind of come in contact with them. It's not uncommon. I think for up here, it does, you know, clearly it happens. So I guess to answer your question, yeah, we do come in contact with that.
Surprising amount?
I don't think it's surprising. I think it's just, okay. I think after you've done this job for a while.
Well, not cop surprise. Typical. I mean,
This is Sean, great point.
Sean living in Arcata, good surprising. Point.
Okay, so I guess that's really hard for me to revert back to, like, okay, not being a police officer.
Regular guy.
Wow,
yeah.
That would really be, you know, maybe some people would be astonished to hear that, but.
It's almost expected.
It is, yeah, I think so.
When you play the game enough, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop with Paul Kraft and Sean Morris from the CHP. Amber alerts are something that I guess has kind of become not normalized, but yeah, maybe normalized. Not routine, but normalized. Most people are aware of what it is. They know that what it is. How's that working?
What's working great. Mm-hmm. The department just put a press release out about
25 years. I think it's 25 years.
Yeah, which is a long time. Mm-hmm. The great thing is that, you know, in the beginning, it was hard to get that message out there right away. And with technology, with our phones and the instant alerts being sent to the phones, we had the signboards, message boards throughout the state. Those messages get out so fast and have increased the return on that and the ability to locate and safely recover.
Well, there's some geographic zoning on those things now also, where before we get something that was like from Minnesota.
Yeah. So the technology,
and it's like, wait a minute, that isn't applicable.
Yeah, the technology has increased significantly when you talk about cell service and how they can pinpoint, you know, accuracy. So when, you know, the Amber Alerts go out and call in, and there's a, you know, I guess a hit, if you will, on the vehicle that they're looking for, then you can, you know, to a great degree of, you know, accuracy, figure out, you know, where in real time those vehicles are.
Yeah, you start narrowing things down.
You start narrowing down, yeah.
Are still most of the abductions family members?
I don't know. That's information that we have. I don't know what the studies are on that. I imagine that there's a lot of that is the case, but I don't know what the numbers are.
You know, it comes out, you know, look for a brown car with license plate number.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? You know, well, having it on the phone, at least you have a record of it, you know, when there was just over the radio.
Right.
Well, over the, it's well, like, over the radio, yeah, on your phone, changeable message signs. It's broadcast everywhere.
I just saw an article as well that in, I believe it's in Southern California, and maybe it's L.A. or San Diego area, they're going to be trying out, I think it's a blue alert, and it's going to be for hit-and-run collisions, which is something that we get a lot of calls on, but are difficult to track down and locate because of the time element that usually goes by.
Yeah, you come out of the store and somebody has crunched you and left.
Using the same Amber Alert system, the same notification systems, we can put those alerts out, and they're going to test it in those larger areas where there's a much higher frequency of hit-and-runs. But when a license plate and vehicle description and a direction of travel is obtained on these vehicles, those are probably the three most important things that we can have for locating them. For sure, a license plate. If we can get that information out right away, it allows a much quicker response or location, possibly, of a hit-and-run vehicle fleeing a scene. And it's not that it is necessarily a life-and-death situation, but those types of crashes cost drivers, in California in particular, millions and millions of dollars every year.
What is the definition of a hit and run?
Drivers required to leave information at the scene of a crash. If you're involved in any property damage collision, you're required to exchange information with the other property owner. You know, if you're damaging someone else's property, let's say.
So even in theory, the door
driver's
opening,
license,
and
phone number, insurance information, all that information is exchanged.
Have a quiet weekend, guys. At least we've started it off with a giggle.
Now you said a key word, but
yeah,
thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
I
know.
Right?
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
See you right tomorrow.